Rain fell over Ashford Manor with the persistence of grief. The ancient stone estate stood beneath a sky the color of old iron, its towers disappearing into mist, while water streamed down tall windows that had watched generations arrive, marry, and die. Months had passed since the funeral, yet the house remained suspended in mourning, as though time itself had refused to cross its threshold. Lucinda Ashford moved through its corridors dressed in black. At 25, she looked younger in stillness and older in silence. Widowhood had altered her in ways mirrors could not reveal. She had entered this house 2 years earlier as the bride of Edward Ashford, the elder son, gentle in manner and fragile in health. She had expected companionship, perhaps even quiet happiness. Instead, she had become nurse, companion, reader of letters, keeper of medicines, and witness to a slow departure no prayer could interrupt. Edward had not been cruel. That made the loss harder. He had apologized while dying. She still remembered his weakened voice. "I wanted to give you more." She had smiled and told him he already had. After his death, she remained at Ashford Manor because there was nowhere else to go. A widow without children possessed little authority, and even less protection. Yet no one questioned her staying. Not at first. Because there was another Ashford in the house. Duke Montgomery Ashford. 32 years old. Feared across counties. People called him cold because they could not call him wounded. People called him proud because they never saw exhaustion. The title had reached him earlier than expected. Years of responsibility had carved discipline into every movement and restraint into every word. He governed estates with ruthless precision and conversations with even greater control. Servants lowered their eyes around him. Guests measured their speech. No one had ever accused him of tenderness. Least of all Lucinda. Since Edward's death, Montgomery had treated her with flawless distance. Her expenses remained covered. Her rooms remained untouched. Her comfort was ensured. Yet they rarely spoke beyond necessity. If she requested approval for household matters, his answers were brief. If she thanked him, he inclined his head. Nothing more. Lucinda once thought his silence meant disapproval. Now she understood it was his method of survival. He kept emotion locked behind duty. And perhaps duty was the only language he trusted. One gray afternoon, Lucinda sat in the conservatory, reading while rain tapped the glass. The room smelled faintly of wet earth and fading roses. She turned a page. Then stopped. Voices drifted through the open doorway. Two visiting ladies. Soft. Careless. Cruel. She still lives here? Months after mourning? Well, the Duke could have sent her elsewhere. A pause. Then laughter. Oh, people are beginning to wonder. Lucinda's fingers tightened. The second woman lowered her voice further. They say affection began before the brother died. The words entered quietly and shattered loudly. Lucinda closed the book. She remained seated. She had learned that dignity sometimes looked identical to stillness. But afterward she noticed things she had not noticed before. Servants becoming quiet when she entered. Letters arriving less frequently. Invitations disappearing. Eyes lingering too long. Whispers ending too quickly. Rumors spread through society with frightening efficiency. People constructed entire histories from glances and coincidences. They said Montgomery had delayed sending her away because he wanted her. They said she had stayed because she always preferred the younger brother. They said Edward had noticed. They said she had waited. Each version became uglier. Each retelling became more believable. Lucinda endured it. Montgomery ignored it. Until the solicitor arrived. The meeting took place in the Duke's study. Dark wood. Tall shelves. Rain against glass. Lucinda sat opposite Montgomery, while the family solicitor unfolded papers with visible discomfort. "The situation," he began carefully, "is becoming difficult." Montgomery stared. "Continue." The man cleared his throat. "Your Grace, public reputation affects inheritance, political relationships, social standing." Montgomery's expression sharpened. "Speak plainly." The solicitor inhaled. "The Duchess Dowager should either leave the estate or marry." Silence. Then Montgomery said quietly, She is not marrying. The solicitor hesitated. Then people expect. His eyes shifted. That she marry you. The room became still. Lucinda looked down. Montgomery laughed once. Not with amusement. With disbelief. No. The solicitor continued nervously. People already assume attachment exists. Montgomery stood. Cold authority filled the room instantly. She was my brother's wife. The solicitor swallowed. That is exactly why society believes this arrangement will restore respectability. Montgomery looked toward the window. Then said with sharp finality, "She is only my brother's widow." Lucinda felt the sentence more than heard it. Not because it was cruel. Because it was true. Afterward, she found him in the corridor. She spoke first. "You owe me nothing." His gaze shifted briefly. She continued, "I can leave." He studied her. "You have nowhere suitable." Her expression remained composed. "Then I shall find somewhere." His jaw tightened. But he said nothing. Days passed. The rumors worsened. Then one evening at a gathering, Montgomery overheard women speaking openly. She must have trapped him. Men like the Duke do not marry for affection. Perhaps she entertained both brothers. Montgomery turned. Lucinda stood nearby. Still. Silent. Accepting humiliation with unbearable grace. For the first time, something inside him moved. Not affection. Not yet. But anger. And perhaps something more dangerous. That night, he knocked on her door. Marriage did not change Ashford Manor overnight. The morning after the ceremony arrived gray and disciplined, as though the sky itself had agreed with Montgomery's terms. Duty. Nothing more. Lucinda woke before sunrise in unfamiliar silence. Not because she had entered a strange house. She already knew every corridor, every servant, every cold draft that slipped beneath old doors. But because her place inside it had altered while everything else remained unchanged. Yesterday she had been the late Duke's widow. Today she was the Duchess. And somehow she had never felt less like either. She dressed carefully and descended for breakfast. Montgomery was already seated. Dark coat. Unreadable expression. A newspaper folded beside untouched tea. He stood briefly when she entered. Not warmly. Not coldly. Simply correctly. "Good morning." She answered quietly. They sat. Silver clinked. Rain tapped windows. Nothing else. After several minutes he said without looking at her. "The West Wing renovations begin next week." Lucinda blinked. Then understood. He was speaking of household matters. Nothing personal. She nodded. Breakfast ended. Days became weeks. Their marriage developed rules without discussion. Separate bedrooms. Separate evenings. Shared meals. Formal conversation. Perfect politeness. No affection. No argument. Lucinda accepted the arrangement because she had expected worse. Montgomery never humiliated her. Never ignored her needs. Never treated her with cruelty. Yet kindness delivered from a distance could sometimes feel lonelier than rejection. She occupied her days quietly. She reorganized estate records. Visited tenant families. Helped servants. Opened old music rooms. Requested fresh flowers for neglected halls. The house slowly changed. Small things. Windows opened. Candles remained lit later. Children of estate workers laughed in gardens again. No one noticed at first. Except Montgomery. One evening he returned from inspecting fields and paused in the entrance hall. Fresh flowers. He frowned. The next day. Music from distant piano rooms. Another day. Servants smiling. He said nothing. But he noticed. Weeks later he entered the library unexpectedly. Lucinda sat by the window reading while a young kitchen maid nervously practiced letters beside her. Lucinda corrected gently. The girl laughed. Montgomery remained unnoticed for several seconds. Then Lucinda looked up. The smile disappeared instantly. Not because she feared him.
Because she remembered herself. The maid hurried away. Lucinda stood, "Your Grace." His eyes moved toward the abandoned notebook. You teach servants. She folded her hands. She wants to read. He stared, then nodded once, and left. But later that evening he remembered her smile, that unsettled him more than he wished. She had smiled like someone who belonged there, like someone not waiting to disappear. Winter deepened, one afternoon. Rain returned heavily. Lucinda insisted on visiting cottages despite weather. She returned, soaked. By evening fever, a maid informed Montgomery, reluctantly. He looked up from papers, then looked back down. Send the physician, the maid hesitated. Double quotes, yes, your grace. Hours passed. Montgomery continued working, read the same paragraph 4 times, signed nothing. Finally, he stood, walked upstairs, stopped outside, her room. He told himself he only needed updates. Nothing more, yet he knocked. No. Answer, he entered. The room was dim. Lucinda lay asleep, pale hair loosened. The physician packed instruments. Nothing severe, he said quietly. Exhaustion. Fever. Montgomery nodded. The physician left. Montgomery should have gone too. Instead, he remained. Rain touched. Windows, she stirred. Opened tired eyes. Saw him. Surprise crossed her face. You do not need to stay. His answer came immediately. I know. But he did not move. She watched him briefly, then smiled faintly. Not romantic, not hopeful, just grateful. That expression disturbed him. Unexpectedly, she slept again. Montgomery remained longer than necessary. The next morning she improved. Life resumed. But something subtle had shifted. Now he asked whether she needed carriages, whether she had eaten, whether meetings exhausted. Her small questions, practical questions, yet they existed. She noticed, neither mentioned it. Weeks later she adjusted his cravat before dinner. The movement happened naturally. Then both froze. Her hand withdrew immediately. His eyes remained on her. For one strange second, the room became too quiet. Dinner passed awkwardly. Afterward, Montgomery avoided her for days, because something had entered his thoughts, and he disliked it. He began reminding himself. She belonged to Edward once. You married her for necessity. You protect her because it is honorable. Yet every explanation weakened. Then came the winter gathering. Nobility.music.conversation. Lucinda attended, because duty required it. She wore dark blue, not morning black. People noticed a gentleman spent too much time speaking with her. Young, confident, interested. Montgomery observed from across the room. Too long, too carefully. When Lucinda laughed, politely, his chest tightened unexpectedly. The man requested a dance. She accepted. Montgomery looked away, but not quickly enough. Someone nearby smiled knowingly. The old rumors returned in whispers. The Duke appears displeased. How interesting. Montgomery left the ballroom. Later, Lucinda found him outside. He disappeared. His voice cooled instantly. He seemed occupied. She stared, then understood. Her expression changed. You disapprove? His answer came too quickly. No dot double quotes silence. Then you may do as you wish. Something inside her finally broke. She looked at him directly. I buried my husband. His eyes lifted. Her voice remained calm. I lost years caring for him. Another breath. Then I married a man who reminds me every day that I do not belong anywhere. He stared. She continued softly. You never once asked whether I wanted this. She left. Montgomery remained alone. That night, for the first time he realized, distance no longer protected him.
After their argument, Ashford Manor changed in ways no servant could describe. Nothing visible altered. Meals remained punctual. Doors opened quietly. Fires burned in every room. Yet something invisible had shifted, as though the house itself had noticed the silence between its Duke and Duchess, and decided it no longer wished to carry it. Montgomery avoided Lucinda for 3 days. Not because he was angry. Anger would have been simpler. He stayed in his study longer than necessary, rode farther than required, and occupied himself with numbers, contracts, and estate reports that blurred beneath his eyes. Each time he closed a document, her words returned. You never once asked whether I wanted this. The sentence followed him with relentless precision. For years he had believed duty solved problems. Provide. Protect. Endure. No one had ever demanded tenderness. No one had expected understanding. And now he realized he had married a woman to save her reputation, without once considering whether she wanted saving. On the fourth evening he entered Edward's old study. The room remained almost untouched. Books lined shelves. The fireplace stood cold. Dust softened corners. Montgomery rarely entered because the room contained too many unfinished conversations. He approached the desk. Opened drawers. Found estate records. Old letters. Medical bills. Then one envelope. His name. His expression changed. He unfolded it. Montgomery. If you are reading this, then circumstances have unfolded as I feared. I know you. You will call care responsibility and sacrifice duty. You will protect everyone and allow no one to protect you. Lucinda is stronger than she appears. But strength should not become loneliness. Take care of her. Not because she belonged to me. Because she deserves not to belong to grief forever. And you, for once, should not belong to duty. Edward. Montgomery read the letter twice. Then a third time. His brother had not entrusted him with an obligation. He had entrusted him with a person. That realization unsettled him more than grief. The following morning he found Lucinda in the garden. Winter had begun loosening. Cold remained, but softer. She stood near dormant roses wrapped in a dark coat. When she noticed him, she prepared to leave. He stopped her. Walk with me. She looked surprised. Then nodded. They walked in silence. Not uncomfortable. Only unfamiliar. Eventually he said. I should have asked. She looked at him. He continued. Whether you wanted this marriage. Her expression softened slightly. Then she smiled sadly. It would not have changed anything. He looked ahead. No. A pause. But I should still have asked. For the first time since their wedding, she did not answer immediately. They continued walking. And something quiet between them shifted. Days passed. Small moments followed. He asked which books she preferred. She asked about estate plans. He listened. Actually listened. At dinner she laughed once. He noticed. She caught him noticing. Looked away. Neither mentioned it. Weeks later they traveled to London for business. The carriage ride lasted hours. Rain struck windows. Conversation began formally. Then drifted. She told him she once wanted to paint. He admitted he had once wanted to travel. She stared. You? His mouth almost smiled. I had ambitions before becoming practical. She laughed. The sound stayed with him. London overwhelmed them. Crowds. Carriages. Noise. At one crossing a group surged unexpectedly. Lucinda lost balance. Montgomery reached for her instinctively. His hand closed around hers. She looked up. He did not release her. They crossed together. And neither mentioned that he continued holding her hand afterward. That evening at their townhouse, they sat near a fire. No servants. No obligations. Only quiet. Lucinda spoke first. Were you always feared? He looked at flames. No. She waited. He finally said. People obey fear. Her eyes remained on him. He continued. It seemed efficient. She considered. Then answered softly. You always looked lonely more than frightening. His eyes lifted. Nobody had ever said that to him. Nobody had ever looked past the title. That night he did not sleep. Because for the first time in years, he wanted something. And wanting felt dangerous. Spring arrived slowly. Then trouble arrived faster. A distant relative appeared at Ashford Manor. Lady Helena Ashford. Sharp eyes. Sharper opinions. She requested private conversation. Instead, she delivered judgment. To Lucinda. I admire your determination. Lucinda frowned. Lady Helena smiled thinly. You secured position beautifully. Lucinda stiffened. The woman continued. People still speak. Silence. Then. The Duke deserves freedom. That evening Lucinda sat alone. And thought. She remembered their wedding. His voice. You're only my brother's widow. She remembered his distance. His restraint. His effort. And suddenly she realized something terrible. He had become kinder. Gentler. Warmer. But he had never said he wanted her. Only that he accepted her. Perhaps she had mistaken comfort for love. Perhaps he deserved a chance to choose. And she had already stolen enough years. The next morning she wrote a letter. Your Grace. Thank you for every kindness you never intended to show. You gave me safety when society gave me none. You fulfilled every duty. Now I wish to release you from one. You deserve freedom. I hope one day you find happiness. Lucinda. She packed quietly. Left before dawn. When Montgomery discovered the letter. He read it once. Then again. His chest tightened strangely. He looked toward the empty room. Cold. Too cold. He realized immediately. This was not relief. This was loss. And suddenly every careful thought disappeared. He crossed the room. Called for horses. Servants stared. He never hurried. Today he did. Rain began while riding. Wind struck hard. He reached the station. Saw her. Standing beside the train. Small suitcase. Black coat. Leaving. His horse stopped sharply. He crossed the platform. She turned. Surprised. He stopped in front of her. She spoke quietly. You should not have come. His answer arrived immediately. No. She stared. He stepped closer. You said I deserved freedom. His voice lowered. But I do not want it. She looked confused. He exhaled. Then finally, said the truth. I married you because society forced me. Rain continued. His eyes remained steady. I stayed because leaving felt wrong. Another step. And somewhere along the way. His voice broke slightly. I stopped seeing my brother's widow. Her breath caught. He said softly. I started seeing Lucinda. She stared. Rain gathered at her lashes. He continued. I do not know when it happened. A breath. But I know this. Closer. If you leave now. His voice became quiet. You will take more with you than this marriage. Silence. Then. You will take me. She looked at him. Long. Searching. Finally she whispered. Because of duty? He shook his head. And answered. No. Then after years of restraint. After years of silence. The feared Duke said the words he never imagined speaking. Because I love you. She closed her eyes. A tear escaped. When she opened them. She smiled. Small. Uncertain. Hopeful. And she asked. Are you asking me to stay? He stepped forward. Not commanding. Not rescuing. Simply asking. Yes. She nodded. Then quietly crossed the distance between them. Months later spring fully arrived. Ashford Manor no longer felt frozen. Lucinda no longer wore mourning. Montgomery no longer hid behind fear. And sometimes, when no one watched, he still reached for her hand. Not because society demanded it, but because he had finally learned that love asked for nothing, and changed everything.